How's it going, everybody? Brian Alvarez here on Wrestling Observer Live. We are here every day, Monday through Friday, noon Pacific, 3 Eastern, Sundays, 3 Pacific, 6 Eastern, Sports Byline USA Radio Network, Sirius Satellite Radio, the American Forces Network, Cable Radio Network, iHeartRadio, iTunes, TuneIn Radio. List goes on and on, the most listened to daily pro wrestling and mixed martial arts radio show in the world. Lots of stuff to talk about here today. Last night was WWE SmackDown. We want to talk about SmackDown, one of the latest shows on the road to the Royal Rumble. You are welcome to call about that. Raw from Monday. As noted, Royal Rumble's coming up. We got a lot of new names in the Rumble, including Dolph Ziggler is now official for the Royal Rumble, coming off his stellar performance on the SmackDown show on Tuesday night. Guy lost and lost and lost and lost and lost and lost and lost. Finally turned heel. Lost again. Talk about that in the program here today. Also, tonight, it is the mid-season finale of Lucha Underground. What in the world is a mid-season finale? Well, you take a full season and you randomly just stop it and you say it's the mid-season finale, totally in the middle of nowhere, and then you move your way on to a hiatus, and then presumably they'll be back in a couple of months, maybe several months. We don't actually know yet. We presume the reason for the mid-season hiatus is the taping of the next season has been pushed back, and in order to, I guess, have less of a giant gap between season 3 and 4, they cut season 3 in half, and they will pick up with season 3 in 2 or 3 months, and then carry it out until the end, and then there will be a smaller hiatus between season 3 and 4, as opposed to if you just kept this season going. I think that's what's going on. There was also a meeting today discussing matches for WrestleMania. There are several confirmed matches for Mania. Others are not confirmed. And Vince has got some interesting ideas. We can talk a little bit about that after the break. Mike Sempervivi will join us. Wrestling Observer Live, Sports Byline USA Radio Network. We're back here on the show. Brian Alvarez here, Wrestling Observer Live. Mike Sempervivi, also WrestlingObserver.com. Callers are on the line already. We'll get to them in a moment. If you'd like to give us a call here today, toll free 844-411-5411. And you can send your text messages to 425-780-7566. A lot going on. SmackDown last night, Lucha Underground, the mid-season finale tonight with Tejano versus Joey Ryan, Dragon Azteca Jr. versus Matanza in a death match, and Cage will be wrestling as well. That's coming up tonight. SmackDown last night. I'll be talking more about this later in the afternoon with Filthy Tom Lawler, but the big news is, number one, Dolph Ziggler turned heel only to lose again. An amazing storyline. And yes, in the main event in the John Cena-Baron Corbin match, they were having a match, and AJ Styles was on commentary, and I'm watching the clock, and there's a minute left, and they're still going, and I'm trying to figure out what's going on, and then John Cena just grabbed the guy, lifted him up, gave him an FU, and won! Beat him clean in the middle of the ring. Which I guess, if John Cena's challenging for the title at the Royal Rumble, I mean, the guy should get a big win, but boy, did that put the brakes on Baron Corbin. What can you do?
Baron Corbin kind of put the brakes on Baron Corbin. And this is, I'm not, with all due respect, which of course means, you know, you're going to throw some shade at somebody right afterwards. He is so awkward at everything he does.
I knew it was coming.
Oh,
come
man.
On.
How he will like hunch over, just everything. It's, there's like a level of cartoonish to it. And it's, you can tell he's a good, it's not like with Damian Sandow would have motions that would indicate that's like, all right, how many sports did you ever play? You can tell that, like, you know, the dude actually is an athlete and is an athletic guy, but just how it comes across in the realm of pro wrestling is so very, very awkward and not very good right now. And I'm sorry, again, not to,
I can't
to
believe
completely
you're
bash the guy, but
Baron Corbin's awkwardness when he had a match with John Cena.
Yeah, well, when
Captain
you're
awkward.
Yeah, but when you're John Cena and you have that sort of charisma and that presence and that reputation and everything else that goes along with it, you can be a big old clunky mess like him. you can't do that if you're Baron Corbin. It just stuck out so much. Even his interaction, jawing back and forth with AJ, it's just very, it is very almost like, it's like a cartoonish sitcom. It's like having the bully at school, like kind of hunching and lurching over like the Gooch going after Arnold. They're like, you know, I'm going to beat you up now. And it's like, you know, AJ, you can tell it's like, you could fire back really fast on this guy and rip him to pieces probably, but you can't do that because you're trying to push the guy. It just, it didn't, sorry, Baron.
God, can't believe
sorry, buddy.
Disrespect.
Ain't working, buddy. When Braun Strowman is a better, more exciting, dynamic big man than you.
Oh, God, give me a damn break.
Oh, come on. You tell me you'd rather watch Baron Corbin than Braun Strowman?
I'm telling you that, listen, Braun Strowman had a really fun match with Seth Rollins because he was in there with Seth Rollins.
And Sammy, that's true. Yeah, he is the opponent.
He had a last man standing match with Sami Zayn where he stood around for half of it.
Absolutely.
I think everyone's forgetting all of the terrible matches this guy had. And no.
Who's got more?
You want to know who's a better athlete between the two? It ain't Braun Strowman.
No, of course not.
He's
of course
clunkier than
Corbin.
He's clunkier than Baron Corbin.
Yeah, but he's got a hell of a lot more presence, and he has got a lot more going on for him right now than Baron Corbin does.
Yeah, he's also getting a much bigger push.
That's, well, I don't know. How much more of a push do you need than being in there with Cena and Styles, for God's sakes? It's your chance to shine.
Yeah, he got pinned clean in the middle.
Well, yeah, that's true. He did, but you can also still shine, which I don't think he did.
Listen, that's the old antiquated, oh, it doesn't matter if he wins or loses. He's in there with John Cena. Actually, it does matter if people win or lose.
No, of course it does, Brian. But like, if you're going to lose, at least, you know, was everything else about the performance, you know, did you feel better about the guy coming out of it? And
no.
I didn't. I'm sorry.
I didn't. I felt much worse for the guy after he got beaten clean in the middle by John Cena. I'm baffled by this finish. I'm not baffled by Dolph losing. That's his gimmick.
They stole that from the Tokyo Dome, didn't they? That crucifix. They stole that from the Bucks, I bet you.
I highly doubt it.
Really?
I highly doubt it.
I bet you Kalisto and Dolph Ziggler watched that match.
Dude, I watched that match. I didn't even remember. Of all the finishes, it's still the Dome.
Well, the reason it stuck out is because the Kalisto crucifix Dolph Ziggler, it's like, this dude lost again. Sorry, so that's why it stuck out.
Let's go to the phones. You're on the air. What's up?
Hey, it's Kenny from Gallatin, Tennessee.
You again?
I want to talk a little bit about. Yeah, it's me again.
What's
Geek
up?
Of the week. Anyway, here's how I sum up last night's SmackDown in two phrases: slow build, audience reaction. And to me, the audience reaction for Dolph Ziggler, to me, he's getting more pops than he was when he was this clean cut.
Yeah, because they have no idea how to book baby faces.
Well, that too. But in a way, though, when I watch Talking Smack, and it's still kind of like he's playing the role between her, like, oh, I'm being real serious, da 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 da, like I got a target on my shoulder. I didn't know if you watched that segment on Talking Smack or not, and I wondered what was your thought on that.
I'll give you my thought on that. Thanks very much for the call, Kenny. Excellent call here today, geek. I'm just kidding. So here's the thing with this Dolph Ziggler deal.
Mm-hmm.
So last week, Dolph Ziggler turned heel, and he went crazy, and he ran wild, and he beat up Apollo Crews, and he was on his way as a heel. I thought, finally, they've turned this guy. So what do they do this week? Well, they go to interview him, I think. I'm not sure what Dasha was doing there. But he goes out to the ring. He refuses to speak. He goes out there. He does a match. He's doing all this amateur wrestling, this technical wrestling, like a babyface would do. And he goes in there, and he gets pinned. And now he's even more frustrated. And it's like, hold on a second. Wait a second. Why are we doing this again? I saw his heel turn last week. Why? What is he doing out here? Why is he not a heel? Why is he going? Why are we going backwards in this storyline? And what it is, you can go back. You can probably go back 100 years, but let's all go back to Alberto Del Rio when Alberto Del Rio did the lamest face turn of all time. Now let's go to Seth Rollins, who did the lamest heel babyface turn of all time. Now they're doing the same thing with Dolph Ziggler. They can't just turn the guy heel and have him switch. They've got to waffle back and forth. He's a heel. Nah, he's kind of a babyface. Nah, he hasn't decided yet. That is the number one way to kill a character dead. When you as a fan don't know what you're supposed to think about this guy. I know that there's this supposed, well, it shouldn't be black and white, it should be gray. Yeah, this thing from the Attitude Era, which, by the way, as I watch, is the worst era of wrestling ever. It absolutely sucks, with the exception of Steve Austin, The Rock, and DX. Everything else about it totally sucks.
Well.
But the point is, you as a viewer I don't care what anyone thinks here in 2017. These are timeless stories. You should know what you think about the characters. You should either like them or you should dislike them. They should not be characters where every week you can't decide whether you like them or dislike them, or whether you should like them or dislike them. That's the number one way in wrestling. You can argue all you want that that's the way it should be done, but the fact of the matter is, every time they book like that, they kill the character. Is Seth Rollins, honest to God, really the top babyface in WWE? Of course not. He's not even close. He's a babyface who's pushed as a top guy. But does he get the reactions like the most popular guy in the whole company? Of course not. Del Rio failed spectacularly as a babyface because they did the same thing. Del Rio, when he came back and he had a good babyface pop, but then they put him with Zeb and everybody's confused. That killed that guy dead again as he came off his most popular run of his entire career outside of WWE. And now we've got Dolph Ziggler, who he's supposed to be a heel, I think, but he's beating up babyfaces after a babyface match and he's hitting him with chairs and people are going, yes, yes, yes. What does that tell you?
Was it a devil's advocate thing? Let me try to throw one of those out there. Were they trying for a one night? Remember when Chris Jericho, they did the story with him where he was all conflicted and then he would have these moments where he would win or then he would lose, but he would freak out and assault Nick Patrick and then apologize.
That's different. I'm watching it right now on Nitro. Jericho is very, very clearly a heel. And when he cuts his promos where he pretends he's a babyface, it's patently obvious that he's not serious about it and that he's pretending to be nice, but then he flips his lid and he's a bad guy.
I wonder if that's possibly where they could go with this. The problem with having that theory, though, is everything you just said, where they actually have a history of just screwing this up. So
yes,
the thought that there could be a story behind this is just probably fantasy to me.
This is too complex a storyline for these people.
Hmm.
I mean that in the nicest way possible to the writers. I like you guys. Back in a moment. Observer Live, Sports Byline USA, Radio Network. Back here on the show, Brian Alvarez here, Wrestling Observer Live. Mike Semper Vivi. We'll go to the phones here in a moment, but I got a bunch of text messages here. If you want to give us a call, 844-411-5411. Text messages, 425-780-7566. This person says, who the heck did Carmella face last night? I love the line that she looked like somebody's aunt. That match was horrible.
That was something. Oh, my.
This person says, is Emelina like the new Glacier? These vignettes will never end. Yeah, that was another great one. Glacier. I waited a long time for Glacier, and that's what I got.
We got Mortis out of that deal. That was pretty cool for a minute. I like Mortis.
Person says, I'm with Mike. I like Braun a lot more than Baron Corbin. I do too. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying Braun has had a lot more opportunities, and Braun hasn't been pinned clean in the middle of the ring.
Dude, but how long can you protect Baron Corbin for as far as the opportunities go? I mean,
well,
how many...
forever. You don't have to put him in with John Cena in a match that Cena has to win. There's literally 10 guys on the roster.
Oh, that you're absolutely right. That's true. But I'm just, watching that and it's like, okay, well, imagine Baron Corbin in the main event picture or picture him against these different guys going forward to close your pay-per-view / special event. And it ain't happening. I know they want it to really bad for him for whatever reason, but it ain't happening.
Listen, I'm not saying that this was their excuse because I don't think they have an excuse, but I've heard many times when there was a bad finish, people saying, well, they had no choice. That's usually Dave's line, actually. They have no choice. And my thought is always, well, you have no choice if, let's say that you discover, and this would never happen. I can't even think of like a good example. Okay, here, let's say that somebody hurt themselves and they can go in there and they can drop the title. Fine, they had no choice. That is a rare example of they had no choice. But there's no such thing as you're booking storylines and all of a sudden you figure out we have no choice. No, you do. You booked yourself into that position.
It's pro wrestling.
Nobody had to put Baron Corbin in a match with John Cena. Nobody. I don't want to hear that there was nobody else on the roster. Well, if there was nobody else on the roster, then there shouldn't have been that match.
Yeah.
There's no such thing as there was no choice. There's always a choice. Unless somebody is hurt, unless somebody gets injured, unless for some strange reason someone's contract has expired and you didn't know about it, which again should never happen. There's never no choice outside of something like injury.
So basically here, really, we're both right. because Baron ain't the guy, and they never should have.
Well, he's not the guy yet, but the point is, like, it takes.
Okay, look, be honest, and this is not an assault on Baron Corbin or trying to bash him or anything like that. But just honestly, from watching wrestling for 40 years and being involved with it and everything else, do you see Baron Corbin as being an upper echelon guy, even
yeah.
to the point? Really,
I think he's
do.
Got something. I'm not saying that he should be the top guy. I'm not saying he's going to be the next Hulk Hogan. But I think that he's got something.
Reigns, Rollins level?
Well, Reigns level, because he's totally flopped.
No, but I mean, like, once you get past Cena and Orton, it's like you have to, okay, it's like, well, there's Reigns and Rollins and, you know, AJ, and then there's the drop-off.
Listen.
Perception-wise.
I don't know. All I know is when I see the guy, I think that he has something. He doesn't have it yet, but I think the potential is there. It's just like, I'm watching all of the shows where Rock is trying to take over the Nation of Domination. And 6 months ago, The Rock was so horrible on this show. God bless the guy. He was a babyface that nobody cared about, that did vanilla matches, and they put him on commentary, and the guy couldn't even talk. I mean, he was so much worse than Roman Reigns is right now in that role. It's not even funny. They could have given up on the guy. They could have beaten him. They could have fired him. But they didn't give up on him, and they kept trying. And finally, the guy turned heel, and he was awesome. And then he became The Rock, and he's one of the biggest superstars there's ever been. And I'm not saying that that's Baron Corbin. But Baron Corbin does have something, and maybe there's something there. So it's best to not beat the guy when you're just starting to give him something.
You know what's so funny, too? All those guys in NXT that should be on the main roster, and a guy like Baron Corbin, who never should have been called up yet, because why? You know, that's what NXT should probably have been for, but no, you had to bring him up, and at least he's in the position he's in when you're looking at Apollo Crews and some other guys that they've brought up, and it's like, man, you really never should have been brought up. So I wish for the best. Not like I'm trying to bash Baron Corbin or anything. I wanted to make that clear. I see him, and I just don't see it. I don't see what they see. I don't see what you see yet. We'll have to see going forward what happens here, because it hasn't been fair to him to be brought up, but that's the era we live in. But when you are presented opportunities, I think you do have to shine a little bit more or come out of your shell a little bit more. And I just don't think he did that last night. And I don't think he translates anywhere near the level that they need him to at all. And I don't think he will.
This person says, I realized James Ellsworth was already on the downswing when he finished the Ambrose story, but pairing him with Carmella has killed him even faster. This dude's dead. And he's out of the main event picture.
Hey, give it to him. Like, if he makes it into the Rumble and he gets a spot in the Rumble and then gets a cameo even at WrestleMania, I mean, what a story James Ellsworth has had. I mean, he should probably be gone unless they are just going to use him as fodder to bring up to be buried by somebody, you know, weekly on TV. But, you know, otherwise, great run. Great run.
Caller, you're on the air.
Hi, yeah, this is Ray from Baton Rouge.
Yes, Ray.
Picayune.
I'm doing good. I was actually at the SmackDown taping last night, and I can kind of give a little bit of a live report from there.
All right.
Like I said, the crowd overall seemed to be very into it. There were a lot of people that were disappointed that AJ did not wrestle, I could tell, in the crowd. A lot of people were kind of upset about that. But I got to say, when they start filming 205, the place almost like completely cleared out, like all
wow.
around me, everybody.
What a surprise. No one could have seen that coming.
Yeah. I mean, and they did like a big pyro and everything. I heard it because when I went to the bathroom and people still cleared out, just like nobody cared about it at all.
Well,
I don't know what they're going to do with that show.
Well, what
beg AJ Styles and John Cena to have a match with some of those guys. Announce that for after 205 Live to go off the air. That's about the only thing you can do.
You know what? Listen, everybody. I know this has been said a million times. I'll say it again. 205 Live doesn't need to be live. I don't know why they called it 205 Live, because they weren't thinking, obviously. 205 Live should be taped before SmackDown, because I can't tell you how many shows I've gone to where it doesn't matter one iota who is in the opener on the show. When a bunch of people show up to watch professional wrestling and the music hits, it doesn't matter who comes through that curtain, they're going to go crazy for that guy. So why in the world don't you just tape 205 Live first? Not even mentioning the problem that 205 Live is a bunch of Raw guys on a SmackDown show. I realize there's a crossover audience, but it's still weird.
No Amdar, Raw superstar.
You can't even... I mean, when 205 Live airs after SmackDown, because they're Raw guys, you can't even shoot an angle on SmackDown to lead to 205 Live. Which, it's one thing... I mean, the idea that it's in the building after SmackDown, I mean, you should be able to shoot an angle on the SmackDown show to lead to the show that's in the ring immediately after the SmackDown main event, okay? But the show also airs live after SmackDown, so it's a double whammy. Why in the world are these cruiserweights not on SmackDown? If the SmackDown exclusive show or the Cruiserweight exclusive show airs after SmackDown, it's so stupid.
Do they air vignettes for the live crowd with these guys and women pushing anything during commercial breaks?
I don't know. I wasn't there. Unfortunately, that guy's gone.
Well, I know, but
still, it's
like,
a commercial.
But I know, but at least you'd be, the people there might get invested. You could try to have them follow along that way by doing stuff during commercials to try to invest them as it's going on. But it doesn't matter. I mean, taping it afterwards is death. Taping it beforehand isn't really going to be any better, because in the cases of Super Astros and other shows that have been taped beforehand, then you just have people coming in late and all that stuff. So it's not going to be the best case scenario, but it will still be better, because the closer you get to SmackDown and then the bell time of 8 o'clock, then it is going to be, you know, you are going to have more of a fuller crowd in there, so you can do your Gallagher or whatever you're going to focus on and have that be in front of more people who will be more awake. But it's a tough road to hoe. But yeah, taping it afterwards is proving week after week after week to be death. So why they continue to do it, I have no idea. And you know why they did the live thing, because everything's about being live right now. But the reality is you can still call it live,
like the Cruiserweight Classic?
Yeah, I know. Change it to a live, you know, whatever you want to do to it. But just, yeah, stop taping it after SmackDown.
The opponent last night was Thunder Kitty. Yep, Thunder Kitty. This person says, do you think Reigns wins the Universal title this weekend? And if so, do you think Owens faces Jericho at Mania? Well, it certainly looks like Roman Reigns is going to win the title. I don't know for sure. Anything is possible. But I do know that there was a meeting today or last night. It was very, very recently about WrestleMania. And most of the matches everybody already knows about are still on. Big Show versus Shaquille O'Neal, Triple H versus Seth Rollins, Brock versus Goldberg. But all of those other names we've been talking about for the last couple of days, things are getting mixed and matched in a very interesting way. I'm not going to say a lot about it because Vince changes his mind on a regular basis. I'm not going to talk about it till after the Rumble, because I think things will happen at the Rumble that'll make this a little bit more clear. But I think there are going to be some matches that people are going to be excited about that nobody's thought about. I'll just put it that way. Back in a moment, Observer Live, Sports Byline USA, Radio Network. We're back here on the show, and we have a text message here who says, went to the SmackDown show in Chicago, no vignettes for any of the Cruiserweight guys.
Me.
That answers that question. Let's go to the phones. You're on the air. What's going on?
Hey, this is Gary in Ohio.
Yes, Gary.
First, I just got a little comment. Well, question, actually. Do you, in my opinion, I think Vince has got the, if he could sign James Ellsworth to a contract, he has got to he's got to sign CJ.
CJ?
I mean,
oh, are you talking about
their name?
Okay,
CJ,
yeah, yeah,
Lundy?
Yeah, Thunder Kitty. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, he's got to sign her to a contract. She, in that match alone, she was more entertaining than Ellsworth has ever been.
Instead of Mae Young, they can make name her like
intentional and unintentional.
Yeah,
April Moolah or something.
It's the unintentional part that's the problem.
Yeah.
See Carmella kicker at the end?
That match was horrible. You hear me? It was horrible.
Beyond.
It was on national television.
I know, but
Like, that's hold on a second. Like, let me jump in here, caller. Hold on, buddy. They put this show on, they put this match on live national television.
Mm-hmm. Number one cable network.
This was not NXT, which is taped.
Nope.
This was live national television. What in the world were they thinking? Seriously. And you know what? I was thinking about this because I've been watching some squash matches lately. I saw Vladimir Pietrov.
The worst.
From the NWA. I've seen Braun Strowman. I've seen all sorts of guys. I saw Goldberg have this squash match on a 98 Nitro. It was unbelievably awesome. And I'm watching this match with Carmel and Thunder Kitty, and all I can think is, you know how hard it is to screw up a squash match? Like, it's impossible. You go out there and you hit somebody with a bunch of your moves and you win. That's not what they did. They went out there to have a match. What were they thinking?
I don't even Wilbur. Know if they even practice it.
I don't know. Anyway.
I wonder if they even practice beforehand.
I hope not.
Also, I don't know if you talk about it now because I just got in. Want to know your thoughts on Wyatt's and Alpha tag match last night. I thought it was really good.
It was a very, very good match. I want to thank you very much for the call. Interesting, again, they're building up the split of the Wyatts. I thought it was going to be more of a long-term deal, but looks like very likely Randy Orton's going back babyface again and probably feuding with Luke Harper. I will say, as much as I like the match, my God, that interview segment was hideous, but we'll talk about that later. Listen, first off, Raw on Monday, 2.89 million viewers, a number that cannot be considered bad, going against the Alabama versus Clemson College Football Championship head-to-head. Game did 24.39 million viewers.
Did you watch it? It was awesome.
Strongest competition against Raw recently, with the exception of the Trump-Clinton debate. It only declined at 2%, which tells you the strength of The Undertaker and Shawn Michaels. Remember on Monday or Tuesday when everybody was texting saying they didn't care one bit about Shawn or The Undertaker? Well, here's your answer. Everybody else does.
Mm-hmm.
3.01 million first hour, 3.02 million second hour. Did drop big to 2.69 million in the third hour because no matter what, 3 hours is too long. You realize that had this show only been 2 hours, it would have done 3.01 million viewers instead of 2.89 million. But hey, they got that third hour in there.
That's the one that'll be the one that wakes up USA. That's when everything changes. USA will stop wanting to throw money or stop wanting this to happen. It's really out of WWE's hands. It's not really out of their hands, but it kind of is because of the money and all that stuff. But when USA starts dropping overall because of a third hour that doesn't mean anything, then things might actually change.
The problem is I'm not sure anything else they put in that slot would do 2.69 million viewers. That's why it's still there. If they had a hit show, we wouldn't have this problem.
That's the thing, and you never know. I mean, they've been in a slump besides Mr. Robot and a few other things that they've had going on, but there was a time where they had like six or seven, maybe not that many, but they had a couple of them just humming there. So if they go back to that, that's going to be the thing that makes this thing disappear.
I got more news, but let's go to the phones. You are on the air. What's going on?
This is Jim from Virginia.
Hello.
Hey, guys. Okay, now, number one, Mike, I can't believe you didn't know Thunder Kitty right off the bat.
Yeah, Mike, crying out loud.
I didn't.
Give me a break, dude.
I was blown away by the 1968 swimsuit.
Well, see, you know, I think it's a whole lot of WWE, but she does do a whole lot of that in her regular indie shows, and I know that was a horrible match. I'm not taking up for the match one iota, but in her defense, mine, I've heard even Ed say this, that Thunder Kitty is a decent to good worker on the indies.
All right.
What does Ed have anything to do with this?
I mean, because he's always, when we bring her, if I was to say something about it, he's always coming in defending her, so.
Well, cool.
Now, number two, are we looking at another Eve Torres, Zack Ryder type of, you know, with the Carmella, yes, James Ellsworth thing?
Yeah, it's not going to end with, like, you know, not going to say it, but yeah.
I hate to jump in, but
go ahead.
time is it now? It's 12:46, so 18 hours ago.
Pacific.
It would have been exactly during the match. During that match with Thunder Kitty and Carmella.
Mm-hmm.
My dear love Liv Morgan tweeted out the following word. Yikes!
Man, then Paul, then JBL, right. he kept on throwing off on her, you know. So, I mean, it is what it is, you know.
Yeah. If what it is horrible, it definitely is what it is.
It was. I agree with you on that. But what did you think about the first match with Natalya and Nikki?
Well, the brawl was a pretty good brawl. I'll give you that. Mm-hmm. It was a pretty good brawl.
And if nothing else, Alexa last night, the interplay between Alexa and Becky Lynch is wonderful. I love this feud. I love everything about it, including Daniel Bryan with his, like, every time you see Daniel Bryan now, I just think of, like, what 60s TV dad, because he's just, like, one step away from a pair of, like, black rimmed glasses and, like, a pipe or something like that, where he just, you know, hashes out these things between all these youngsters that are, they're coming back to his office or his standing spot, whatever they call it.
Let us here go to this news. I got to talk about this. This could take forever, so let's get into it. Mark Hunt today filed a lawsuit in Nevada District Court against UFC Brock Lesnar and Dana White. ESPN's Brett Okamoto reported the story earlier tonight. It's a landmark case because Hunt is claiming the defendants, quote, affirmatively circumvented and obstructed fair competition for their own benefit.
RICO.
Hunt had been threatening legal action, feeling his career has been harmed by facing people who have cheated. He was upset because he felt Lesnar was not punished enough for a failed drug test before their fight took place, and that he went into the cage without knowledge that Lesnar had already failed a test as a result of a June 29th or 28th test didn't come back until after the July 9th fight. That is ridiculous, but that's not necessarily proof that UFC was in on this. Notes that Lesnar failed for hydroxychloroquine, which is not a steroid or a PED. Now, it is used as a masking, or not a masking agent. It's used to kickstart everything after you come off a cycle. But there is no, Lesnar has not failed a steroid test. And so you could say that what makes sense is that he was using hydroxychloroquine after coming off a cycle. But you have no proof of that. So that's a problem here. Now, the other problem, there's a lot in here. He is claiming, I'll see if I can find the exact quote here. He is claiming that because UFC granted Lesnar an exemption, here's how it works, everybody. If I'm going to fight, let's say that I'm going to fight in UFC, okay? What is supposed to happen is, if I sign a contract with UFC today, January 11th, I should not be able to fight for at least 4 months. Because when I sign, I need to be in the USADA testing pool for 4 months before I have my first fight. If there's a fight coming up in February, I'm not supposed to be able to just sign my contract and fight in February and circumvent that 4 month window. Now, there are exceptions. They do allow exemptions for short-term replacements. Let's say that there's a fight next week. Maybe, I think a BJ Penn fight is this week. Let's say that BJ Penn got hurt, and they're like, we need an opponent. This Brian Alvarez, he can do it. They'd give me an exemption, because I'm doing a very late notice replacement. But the reason they gave the exemption for Lesnar was because they wanted him to fight on UFC 200. It wasn't a last-minute replacement, but they wanted him on that big show, and so they petitioned for an exemption, and they got it. He's claiming that they did this not because of UFC 200, but because they knew the guy was on steroids and they gave him an exemption. That's going to be a tough one to prove. I can't imagine Mark Hunt having some sort of, like, he's got an email chain or he's got a tap phone call or something. I mean, what makes the most sense, I'm no lawyer here, but it makes the most sense that they wanted Brock Lesnar on UFC 200 and that's why they waived it, not because they thought that the guy was on steroids and didn't want to test him. Yeah. He's claiming the opposite. He's claiming they knew, and that's why they gave him this deal. He claims that they have, there's a consistent pattern of wrongfully jeopardizing fighter health and safety for profit. They have been granting exemptions. That's right, a conspiracy. There's an enterprise, I believe was the exact term that he used.
It's a RICO charge. This is an actual, this is what they used, and this is what the federal government came up with to try to, when you couldn't directly nail a mafia figure, they came up with this where you could actually, where you could at least show tentacles spread out that would give a drug dealer or a drug pusher in Miami or a mafia guy in New Jersey. This is how you were able to catch those guys. That's how this came to be. These are the actual charges that are being levied against the UFC in a fight that he took after knowing that Lesnar didn't, again, he chose to take the fight. I don't know. This whole thing
this
is...
This here, on that note, Hunt told ESPN, I don't want to be on that position, or in this position. It puts me in a weird spot because I'm still under contract. Fans say, Mark, you knew he was juicing. I didn't know. You look at him and think, yeah, he's on the gear, but you can't judge a book by its cover and all that. Now, keep in mind, before the fight, Mark Hunt said he believed Brock Lesnar was juiced to the gills, but he didn't care. He was going to knock him out anyway.
Anyway.
That's another tough one.
Yeah. Look, and this, I have sympathy for Mark Hunt. You know, he's got a fight coming up against Alistair Overeem, who, you know, if anybody ever watched Alistair Overeem in K1 years ago, he didn't look like the Alistair Overeem that's been fighting over the last couple of years, but... Hey, you know, it's who knows, and I have sympathies for Mark Hunt. I just look at these charges as they're laid out, and it's going to get attention. That's probably the thing that'll happen from here, but I don't want to see Mark Hunt go broke with lawyer fees just because he's trying to prove a point.
Got a text message here saying, Undertaker versus James Ellsworth, right? Wrong. James Ellsworth is not The Undertaker's opponent at WrestleMania. Person says, can you imagine Dasha interviewing Kenny Omega after his Tokyo Dome match? I would almost pay to see it.
A pertinent question. Did you see the screenshot I sent? Did you that interview with
Dolph
Ziggler?
I didn't need the screenshot. I listened to it.
Was insane. That was just, oh my God. It's almost like they're doing it on purpose now. They gotta be.
Of course they are. It's patently obvious now.
It's like the hard camera when Hunter talks about it with NXT. It's got to be a rib.
Back in a moment, Observer Live, Sports Byline USA, Radio Network. We're back here on the show. Brian Alvarez here, Wrestling Observer Live. Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. Got a text message here saying, I know I missed the prediction show, but just for fun, I want to give my prediction that either NXT or the main roster will have its first official female referee in 2017. That's a bold prediction.
It's pretty good.
I don't know why they don't.
Really? Mike McGurk, who was the last one? Honest to God. Rita Chatterton was the infamous one, but Mike McGurk may have done some before ringing. Now I can't even think of who the last one was.
Well, one way or the other, don't forget to check out NXT tonight, as well as the season finale of Lucha Underground, Gods Among Men. Is the title Tejano versus Joey Ryan, Dragon Azteca Jr. versus Matanza in a death match, which in Lucha Underground means the loser dies. That's tonight.
Literally.
Cage versus TBA.
Character wise.
And more. You can check that out. We're going to be here tomorrow talking about everything. We're here Monday through Friday, noon Pacific, 3 Eastern, Sundays, 3 Pacific, 6 Eastern, Sports Byline, USA Radio Network, etc. You can hear us on TuneIn Radio, is the easiest way. Just grab the TuneIn Radio app on your smartphone, search Sports Byline USA, and there we be. We have daily replays, 5 Pacific, 8 Eastern. The full schedule is up at sportsbyline.com, as well as listen live links if you want to do it through your computer, wrestlingobserver.com as well. And if you sign up for WrestlingObserver.com, thousands of archived radio shows. We got two more coming up today. I'll be up later with Filthy Tom Lawler talking SmackDown, Impact, so much more. Then Dave Meltzer later on tonight. So check that out. Thanks, Mike, as always, all of the callers and listeners. We'll talk to you again next time. Wrestling Observer Live on the Sports Byline USA Radio Network.